All right, ladies, welcome, welcome, welcome to day number 6, the power of forgiveness. I am going to go ahead and state our affirmation. If you have your journal in front of you, go ahead and state this affirmation aloud with me. Even though I can't hear you, I can feel you, and hopefully you guys have been stating your affirmations all throughout the day, not just at 9 p.m. when we all come here together on the phone together, but this is something that I created for you guys to repeat throughout the day, so you can continue to work on yourself even when you're driving down the street, in the grocery store, sitting at your desk at work, so these affirmations will become a part of who you are. And ultimately, it will be the foundation from which you build your life upon. So today's affirmation simply says that today I forgive myself. I forgive myself for thinking less of myself than God does. I forgive myself for allowing others to do things to me that did not honor me. I forgive myself for putting other people's happiness in front of my own. Today, I forgive myself. I'm going to read that again. And I want us to think about the very first sentences. Today, I forgive myself. And I want you to bring back into your memory bank right now at least one thing that you forgive yourself for, something that you've been beating yourself up over maybe a couple days or years or however long. I want you to forgive yourself in this moment and know that you are forgiven. So today I forgive myself. I forgive myself for thinking less of myself than God does. I forgive myself for allowing others to do things to me that did not honor me. I forgive myself for putting other people's happiness in front of my own. Today I forgive myself. In the second sentence, it says, I forgive myself for thinking less of myself than God does. I want you to think about what God thinks about you. And, excuse me, what God thinks about you and how you think about yourself. And a lot of times that can cause some room for forgiveness. Because oftentimes we are thinking that we're failures. We're thinking that we're not good enough. When we think that we're not good enough, I want you to think about a time, if for those of us who have children or nieces and nephews or just any child in general, that if a child came up to you and was just saying, I'm so stupid, I'm so fat, I'm so dumb, I could never get anything right, your heart would be broken for that child. And sometimes that's the very conversation that we have going on in our own minds about ourselves. And then think about how we are saddening God for talking about one of his children like that. So I want you to practice the act of forgiving yourself on a daily basis. Whenever you are talking bad about yourself or thinking negatively about yourself or thinking that you are inadequate to accomplish the goals and the dreams that God has set forth for you to do, I want forgiveness to be something that you practice on a regular basis. So for tonight, I can just move my journal right out the way. I have absolutely no points for you ladies tonight. I think I would be out of line, out of order to say that there is a three-step process to forgiveness because everybody goes through and expresses forgiveness in many, many different ways. And depending on what has happened to you or what you have done to someone else, forgiveness takes form in so many different shapes and forms. So I'm not here to give you a how-to forgive. Tonight, I just want to open up Angel Richardson's Book of Life and share a story with you. And after I share this story with you, you will be able to see why forgiveness plays such a huge part, number one, in my life and in everybody's life that's literally still breathing, because we've all done stuff and we have all had stuff done to us. So Many of you know that I had a store in Racerstown, Maryland in 2006. I closed my store in 2009. In the year of 2008, when I still had my store, 2008 was a year that I will never, ever, ever forget as long as I live. Typically, or my schedule for my store, I was closed on Mondays. And so this one Monday, I was in my store, and the door was open because I was in there doing my paperwork. And a lady came in my store, and she realized that the store was closed because the lights were dim. And she said, "Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that you were closed." I said, "No, it's fine. You can come in. You know, of course, I'm going to let her come in. I'm a store. I'm in business." So I said, "Go ahead. You can come in, and you can have, like, a personal shopping time, just you in here by yourself." So she walked around the store, and she brought her items up to the counter, and she went to purchase the things that she was buying, and she said to me, she said, "I didn't even know that your store was here." She said, "I was on my way driving to go see the psychic down the street." She said, "Have you ever gone to that psychic down the street?" And I told her, "No." I said, "I've never seen a psychic before in my life." And I asked her, I said, "If you don't mind me asking, what are you going to see the psychic for?" And she looked at me, and she just started crying. And she told me that she had just recently found out that her husband was molesting her 7-year-old daughter. And she didn't know what to do about it. She didn't know where to begin. She was just so confused. She wanted to know, what did the future hold for herself and for her child? She was just so obviously, you know, with reason, so discombobulated, and just literally felt like the rug was pulled from underneath her. Her husband, which was not her daughter's father, it was the daughter's stepdad, was molesting her. And so we went on and talked and hugged, and I gave her, I had Joyce Meyer's book with me at the time, and it was Beauty for Ashes. And many of you guys know Joyce Meyer's story. Her dad molested her for a very long time when she was younger. And so she talks about it in her book, Beauty for Ashes. So I gave her that book, and I told her to keep in contact with me. I would love to find out, you know, what direction she chose to go in, and just to make sure that she was okay. Well, I never heard from this lady ever again. That was on a Monday. On a Wednesday, I'm in my store again. At this time, I'm open. The store is filled with women in there shopping, and this lady, the store starts to dwindle down. It's coming towards closing time, and this lady is in there with me, and we're talking and laughing, and she's, you know, picking out the stuff that she's going to purchase. And she looked at me, and she said, "What else is it that you do?" Now, at this time, the only thing that I did was I had my store. I wasn't coaching. I wasn't mentoring. I wasn't doing any of the stuff that I do now. Well, kind of. I was doing it. I just didn't have a name for it. I wasn't totally aware of what my calling was. And so she said to me, she said, "What else is it that you do other than have this boutique?" And I said, "Nothing. This is it. I just make jewelry and pocketbooks and stuff like that, and that's it." And I said, "I go to church. I love to read. I love to read self-help books." And she went on to start telling me that she was, at the time, Miss Linda, my angel, that's what I call her, Miss Linda, she was 57 at the time. And she began telling me about her and her sister when they were younger. Her dad had molested her and her sister. And she was just bawling, I mean, crying so hard. And she said to me, she said, "I cannot believe I just told you that." She said, "I haven't been able to say that in 30 years. I mean, this woman was, she was completely shocked that she was able to even speak that story to me. And so she just kept saying, you know, "What is it that you do?" And she was telling me, I'm so embarrassed. After she told me, she covered her face. She's like, "I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I just said that." And she's telling me that her sister doesn't even talk about it. And she said that if her sister found out that she said something, she would be so upset with her. And she just kept telling me how embarrassed and humiliated she felt. And I said to her, I said, "Ma'am, please do not feel embarrassed." I said, "Just the other day," I said, 2 days ago, "there was another woman in here that told me that she had a similar story, you know, to yours, that her husband, she just found out that her husband was molesting her her daughter. And she's like, and the woman, she's like, oh my goodness, wow. And she said, she just got this look on her face after I shared that with her. And she said to me, she said, God is preparing you for something that he's getting ready to reveal to you. Because I had told her, I said, I can go in the grocery store and people just tell me their business. I don't know what it is. Now, obviously, I know what it is because it's the call that God has on my life. But at that time, I had no clue why people, I mean, I would be in the at the gas station, grocery store, anywhere, and people would just come up to me and tell me their stuff. And so she said to me, she said, God is preparing you for something that he's getting ready to reveal to you. She said, I strongly believe that that is why I said, I revealed to you what I just revealed to you, and the other stranger lady revealed this to you all in this week. So when she said that, I'm just like, what is God getting ready to reveal to me? It freaked me out a little bit, to be quite honest. And so that was on a Wednesday. So come Friday, my mother-in-law had called me and asked me to go out to lunch with her after I closed my store on that Friday. So my mother-in-law and I had a really, really good relationship when my husband and I first got married, and I loved this woman to pieces. Like, I thought she was the nicest woman in the world. She was so sweet to my children, and she was just so kind. And she felt the same way about me. And she would often say to her friends and to her coworkers, like, oh, my goodness, I love Angel. I'm so glad that Douglas chose her as his wife. And she would often brag about how much of a good mother she thought that I was. And it started to bother me a little bit because I knew the real me at that time. And at that time, like I shared with you ladies last night, in the beginning of my marriage, it was hell. Literally, it was hell each and every single day in my home. It was hell on earth. So in the beginning of my marriage, my husband and I used to argue all the time. And his mother knew that we had those troubling times. And so what she did not know is that some of those arguments got physical. She had no idea that I was abusing her son. The arguments got very physical very often, and it was me. I was the one that would put my hands on my husband often. My husband never laid his hands on me. He would just take it. He would try and stop me. He would try and block me, but he never put his hands on me. And my spirit couldn't sit with his mother thinking so highly of me anymore. It was bothering me so bad. And I knew I had to tell her, but I was so afraid because I'm thinking, this woman is going to hate me. She's going to tell his whole family that I'm horrible. She's going to try and talk Doug out of being with me. I was petrified, but I knew that I had to come clean because my spirit was not at peace anymore. So that evening after I closed the store, we went shopping, and then we ate dinner, and then we came back to the store because her car was parked there. So we go back into the store, and I just wrapped up a couple more things, and we just sat down and we just started talking, and I said to her, and I'm literally shaking at this point. My legs were literally shaking. We're both sitting in these two chairs that I had in the back of the store. And I said to her, I said, I have something I have to tell you. And she's like, you know, she's so giddy. She's like, what? What's going on, Angel? Tell me. You know, you can tell me anything. And I'm just like, oh, you don't know what I'm getting ready to tell you. I was so nervous. And so I said to her, I said, you know how Doug and I used to argue a lot? And she said, oh, yeah, but you guys, you know, it's the beginning part of your marriage. You guys will get over that hump. That, you know, everybody goes through their troubling times and it'll smooth out. And I said, no. I said, the arguments would get really, really bad. And she's like, oh, Angel, you don't, I know you guys are still young and I understand. And I'm like, no, I would hit your son. Like, I've really abused your son really bad. And I've done some really bad things to him physically. And she just looked at me in awe. Her jaw dropped, and she put her hands over her face, and she began to cry. And at this moment, I'm just like, I'm frozen stiff. I can't move. I don't even think I was breathing. I'm just like, oh, my goodness, what did I just do? What, just so many things were going on in my head. And when she took her hands off of her face and she had all these tears and she's crying and she's crying and she's crying, and she says to me, she says, Angel, let me tell you what I used to do to Douglas. And she said to me, she said, I molested him when he was younger. And everything stopped. My whole entire world stopped. My whole entire world as I knew it completely stopped. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who she was. I was completely lost. I literally felt like a stranger in this world. First of all, it took me about 45 minutes to an hour of us sitting there for me to even get any words out of my mouth. And for her too, we were both sitting there in silence. Neither one of us could talk. So finally, when I did come to, I guess that's the only way to say it, that because I was out of it. I just didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what to say. I just said to her, I said, did you ever touch my children? Because at that time, she was the only person that I would ever allow my children to be with, as far as like spending the night at her house and just hanging out with her, and not even my mother. I wouldn't even let my mother have my children because, like I told you guys, my mother and I's relationship was not all that great, you know, when I was younger. My mother's from the old school, you know, a child should be seen and not heard, and I didn't want my children to grow up around that. I wanted my children to be able to talk to me, so I was very, very particular of who I allowed them to spend time with. And so I just said to her, I said, did you touch my children? And she said to me, she said, no, I didn't. I promise you, I didn't. This was years ago when Douglas was younger, and I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. So I get in my car, I drive home. Now, the whole ride home, I was only 5 minutes away from my home at the time. My store was like literally right around the corner. And so I get to the apartment building that we lived in, and I sat in my car. I really could honestly don't remember how long I sat there, but I know I didn't just pull up and get out of the car and walk in. I'm sitting out front of my apartment building, and I'm thinking to myself, who is my husband? Why didn't he ever tell me this? Why wouldn't he tell me this? Like, why would he allow our children to go to her house knowing how his childhood was with his mother? I didn't know who he was. So I go in the house, and I am just, my face is swollen because I've been crying for hours at this point. I go in the room. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, midnight, 1 o'clock, something like that. I walk in, and I woke my husband up, and I said, Doug. And he looks at me, and he can see that I'm extremely bothered. And he's like, what? What's going on? And I said, Doug, I said, do you have anything to tell me? And he's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, do you have anything to tell me about when you were a child? Anything that you remember happening to you as a child? And he's just like, what? What are you talking about? And so I told him, I said, your mother just told me that she molested you when you were younger. He sat up in the bed, and he just sat there, and he was like, what? What? And he just, you guys, excuse my language, but I just want to give it to you as I remember it. And he's sitting there, and he's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? He's in total disbelief, and I'm like, Doug, you never told me this. I mean, I'm angry. I'm like, you never told me this. What is going on? You never told me this. Now, this was in 2008. I married him in 1997. So we had been together all this time, and I'm thinking, who is he? He never told me this. So as the time went on, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, Doug, what's going on? You know, why? How come you never told me this? And I'm just like dumbfounded. And he said, I don't know what the hell she's talking about. I just don't know. So to make a long story short, a couple days later, it was actually 3 days later, I called his mother to gain some more clarity because Doug is telling me, I mean, these whole 3 days had gone by and our world was, I don't even know if we talked. I don't even know if him and I said anything in those 3 days. It was like the whole world was silent. And so I called her 3 days after and I said to her, I said, Doug is saying that he doesn't remember. You know, he's completely dumbfounded. He was just as shocked as I was to, you know, for what you revealed to me. And what she said to me was, she said, Angel, you know, I really didn't mean what I said the other night in your store. What I meant was, and I said, what? What do you mean you didn't mean what you said? And she said, well, what I meant was when I would nurse him, I would bond with him while I was nursing him. And I'm like, but what you said in the store was nothing to what you're telling me now. And she's trying to backpedal what she told me in the store. And so I clicked over, Doug was at work. I called Doug on three-way, and I said, and his mother didn't know that I had called him on three-way. So I click over, and I said, Doug, I said, your mother is on the line. I said, I know you don't want to talk to her, but she's trying to tell me what she said the other night wasn't true, and she's trying to tell me that what she meant was she was trying to bond with you. So when I click back over to his mother, at this time, Doug's on the phone. He's being silent. She doesn't know that he's on the line. And she says, I said, no, go ahead and tell me what you were telling me the other day in the store wasn't what you really meant. And she said, well, I was trying to tell you, Angel, that when Douglas and I, one night we were, Doug and his dad, we were out camping. And when she said the word camping, Doug lost it. The word camping, for some reason, triggered everything. Now, for 3 days, he did not remember what had happened to him. But when he heard his mother say the word camping, that is when every image, every memory, everything came rushing back to him in that moment. And so he's like, he's crying, and she's surprised because she didn't know that he was on the phone. And he starts screaming. He says, Mom, the tent, the fucking tent, you know what happened in that fucking tent, and you're trying to say that that didn't happen. I mean, I was numb. I didn't know. I was just completely numb. She starts crying, and she's like crying, saying, Douglas, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And Doug hangs up the phone. About 45 minutes later, he comes home. He comes home, he lays down in the bed, literally in the fetal position, and he cried for hours. He just cried for hours. We had contacted the police because she was the only person that we ever allowed for our children to go to her house and spend the night at her house. And so we had to contact the police to get our children investigated, to get them questioned. And so we took our children to this, like, this home that's in Howard County. It's like for battered people and abused people and people that are dealing with that have been molested and things like that. And even the police officers, the police department doesn't even know I'm sorry, that's not true. Not the police department. It was some other department. Some state does not know. Some state department, I'm sorry, I don't remember what department it is, but doesn't know about this housing that they have for these women. Actually, I do now. I do think it is the police department, because I remember the lady telling me that there were police officer wives that would come there, that the police officers that were being abusive to their spouses, the women would come there. So it was the police department. So we had to take our children there. And it literally felt like we were in a movie. I'm sitting there, and these detectives, these very trained detectives and people were sitting in this room, and they were questioning my youngest, my 12. She's 12 now, but at the time, I don't know how old she was. You guys can do the math. She's 12 now. This happened in 2008. I'm not quick with numbers like that. And so they had to give her a sheet of paper and tell, and they were telling her, you know, draw circles where mommy hugs you and mommy tickles you and mommy kisses you. And they went down the whole family line, and where does your uncle hug you and tickle you? And then she's circling all these, circling the body parts from which she's answering the questions. And then they get to her bubby. That's what my children were calling Doug's mother at the time, was bubby. And so the detective said, well, where does bubby hug and tickle and kiss on you? And she circled, you know, her face and everything. So her that was my youngest. That was the way that they investigated her. With my oldest, they just straight up asked her and questioned her because she was older. So there were trained detectives in the basement of this building that are trained to watch, to detect body language, body movement, all this type of stuff. And so after they questioned our children, they came out and they sat us down and they all spoke with us, and they said, to their professional opinion, they do not believe that his mother touched our girls. So I was so relieved. I obviously had ongoing conversations with my children throughout the years, and nothing has ever came up. So we do firmly believe that she never did touch our children. However, when Doug and I went through a couple counseling sessions, one of the things that the counselor said was that the way that our brain works is that some people can have something very, very dramatic happen to them in their past. And oftentimes they are when they were younger, and oftentimes they don't even remember it until they're older. And she went on to tell us that that's just the way that our brain protects us, because I couldn't understand how come he didn't remember. You know, we've been together all this time and he didn't remember. Well, that's what she explained to me, that it's a very common thing that that things happen to young children and they don't remember it until later on. Well, the word camping, for some reason, was Doug's trigger, and that was when he remembered everything. And so you could only imagine, I was furious. I mean, I was livid. This woman had done this to my husband. I was pissed. I was so angry. There were so many nights. I had so many sleepless nights that I literally plotted to kill her. Like, I really wanted her to not exist anymore. And I carried this unforgiveness with me for months and months and months on end. I mean, so much so that I would have anxiety. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. My mind was consumed with wanting to hurt her. And so a few months later, Doug's cousin had came over the house, and he was talking about an Easter, and it was Easter time, and in his family, they have Easter at the aunt's house or whatever. So he was saying, yeah, and your mom was there, and so-and-so was there. He was just telling us everybody was there, and I was like, his mother was there? Really? And he's like, yeah, why, what's going on? And I'm just like thinking to myself, oh, nothing, you know, I was like, oh, okay, just understanding that she's living her life. She's moved on. And here I am, not sleeping at night, not eating, not being able to function. And this lady had moved on with her life. Now, I said all of that to say that in God's eyes, I don't know if everybody on this call is believers or not, but I am, and most of you guys know that. In God's eyes, there is no greater sin. There is no big sin, little sin, small sin, medium-sized sin. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. So what I did to Doug, physically hurting him, in God's eyes, is no different than what his mother did to him. That was a revelation and a realization that I had to come to terms with in order to forgive her and also to forgive myself for what I did. And so I share that story with you ladies on tonight. Like I said, I have no points for you. There is no two steps to this or three steps to this. It's just forgiveness is necessary. Forgiveness is something that we must seek in our lives if we are going to be fully present, if we're going to be functional, if we're going to be useful. We have to learn how to forgive. And the only thing that I do have for you, the one thing that I do have for you, it's not a point, it's just a question. And the question simply is this. More often than not, when we talk about forgiveness, we're always talking about what somebody else did to us. My question for you tonight is I want you to ask yourself, you know, we could be running around here saying, well, my dad wasn't in my life, my mom wasn't in my life, and my teachers turned their back on me, or whoever, my mentors, nobody was there for me, and you're just angry. You're carrying so much resentment. Maybe your husband cheated on you, or maybe he was physically abusive to you, or maybe you're going through a divorce. Whatever it is, I want you to understand, no matter how wrong someone has done you, you yourself and me have done just as much wrong to somebody else. And so we have to realize that and recognize that and be willing to give people, I don't want to say a second chance. I just want to say be willing to forgive other people, because we don't know why people do the things that they do. We don't know the dynamics of someone's life. We don't know who they are, what encompasses all of them. We don't know why people do the things that they do. And the same is true for us. People don't know why we do the things that we do. So I simply just want to ask you, what have you done? While we are so quick to point the finger and say, they did that to me, and they did that to me, and they did that to me, what can you take responsibility for that you did to someone else? Ladies, that's all I have for you on tonight. It is my prayer, it is my intention, it is my hope that you ladies find it within yourself to be forgiven, be a forgiving person, forgive yourself no matter what you have done, no matter what you have done. It took me a very long time to forgive myself for the way that I used to treat my husband. It took me a very, very long time to forgive myself. I'm so blessed with this man that God gave me. There are no words to really express the gratitude that I feel for the husband that I have that was willing to forgive me for the way that I used to treat him. There was something else that I wanted to share, and it just completely slipped my mind. Give me 2 seconds, ladies. Something else I wanted to share. What did I want to share? That was the homework. I cannot think of it. I'm going to go ahead and open the line back up. If I remember what it was that I wanted to share, I thought it was the homework assignment, but it is not. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line if anybody has any questions. Oh, this is what it was, the forgiveness piece. I do want you guys to know that just because you forgive someone, that does not mean that you have to break bread with them. You can forgive someone and be completely done with them. I am completely done with his mother. I don't have to break bread with her. I don't have to have coffee with her. Just because I forgive her, that does not mean that I'm sending her Christmas cards on Christmas. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines if we have any questions, comments, or concerns. All right, ladies, the call is unmuted. Do we have any questions, comments, or concerns on tonight? No questions, no comments, no concerns?
This is Takiya.
Yes.
I just want to say thank you for sharing that. That was powerful.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else have any questions, comments, or concerns before we end on tonight?
Yes, I also want to say thank you and thank you to your family for allowing you to share that.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
I want to say thank you as well for sharing that and for your family to allow you to share that as well.
Mm. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, ladies. Well, we have no more questions.
Hello. I have a comment. Hey, Angel. This is Atelia Ford.
Hello, Atelia. Hey.
And it's something. It's like this is the second time I heard you.
I know, ladies. Let me let you guys know. This is Miss Atelia. She took the challenge, the Uncommon Woman Challenge, back in 2011. When I shared this story, and I shared the same story on forgiveness that same time. So go ahead, Miss Artilia.
And as you know, this is the second time that I heard this story, and it has the same effect on me as it did the first time. And I just want to say this. It makes me have a greater amount of respect for you, even more so than ever. And I appreciate you, Angel. I love you, and you know you would always have a special place in my heart.
I know I do, Artilia. I
just
know
thank
I do.
You again. I just want to thank you again for everything that you have done for me as well as my family. And thank you.
You
Angel.
Are so welcome. Thank you. Thank you,
Angel. This is Dion. I actually have a comment and two questions, if you don't mind.
Uh-huh.
Comment is, I have no words to express the gratitude that I feel right now for just listening to that. The fact that you're able to tell that story and still be in your right mind is, I think, a testament to you being who God made you to be. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us tonight.
You're welcome.
And my questions, and it's actually something that I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm.
How long had you been arguing with your husband, and did the argument stop after you found out that information?
That's a good question. The arguments started, my oldest was, she was born in 92296. She was born in 96. We got married in 97, and I'm going to say the arguments start. I mean, just, you know, obviously we argued in the beginning, just little arguments, but the physical, it started when I would hit him. My daughter was around one. She was around 1 year old. And it lasted for about maybe 2 years, maybe a year and a half to 2 years. So from 97 to about 99. So up into the year 2000, I'm guessing. Like I said, I'm not good with numbers really quick. So that was the first part. What was the other part of the other? Oh, did the arguments stop after that?
Yes.
The arguments stopped way before that. The arguments had stopped way before that, before we found that out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my mind is going, and I can't remember the chapter and the verse, but the scripture that through God all things are good, mm-hmm. or how he can find anything good, even in something that we just couldn't fathom.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that having to forgive your husband's mom just made you know how blessed you were that he actually forgave you. I would imagine that, you know, just that whole awful experience really helped you to be able to move on to that next level.
It did. You're absolutely right.
Again, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome, Dion. Thank you for your questions and for your comment. Thank you.
Angel?
Yes.
This is Jessica from Ohio.
Hey, Jessica.
So I love the story. And when we originally were reading our affirmations, I was thinking, you know, oh, what do I need to forgive myself for? Oh, you know, I snack too much sometimes, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that all of those things were worked out. But as you tell your story, it has so much of my story in it. And see, I actually ended up divorcing my husband, which turned out to be a wonderful thing for me. But in the beginning, that's how our relationship kind of was. But I was the one who was actually molested, and he didn't understand molestation, being raped as a child, any of that. So he would use it against me.
Mm.
And I don't know where my anger and the physical stuff came, but I would physically abuse him as well. And he would do, you know, he would just, you know, try to stop me and this, that, and the other. And then it turned into later in the marriage where I allowed it to become more like a mental abuse that I accepted from him because of all the things that I had did in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, I kind of created this monster and I did all of this stuff. So the least I could do is take it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll allow him to do this because, you know, I abused him. I cheated on him. I did this. I did that. I made him feel like he was nothing. So,
yeah.
You know, I'll accept all of this from him. And then it got to the point where it was just like, okay, well, I'm different now. I've changed. You know, I've grown, but you're not. You're still stuck in the same place. And I became the victim. Like, oh, I've never done anything to you type of thing, you know, but you're this horrible person, and how dare you? That's so old. Why are you still thinking about those things?
Yeah.
And so this story just kind of brought that up for me to realize, you know, I've done a lot of horrible things, and how dare I sit around and think in my mind just because I've changed and I've grown and I'm a completely different person that now it's all him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I loved it. I loved it. And I always believe that you're drawn to people and certain things and situations, not by accident at all. The spirit takes me where I need to go to learn what I need to learn and to pull out what needs to come out, you know.
Yeah, I believe that was wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's so that you just, like, summed up the point that I wanted to make tonight.
Yeah.
That's it. Like,
and I had no idea in the beginning when we started this conversation. I was thinking, oh, well, yeah, I ate too many cookies. Okay, I forgive myself. Whoopsie-doo, you know, like whatever. I got this down. I know about forgiveness. I got it. You know, until you told the story, and then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. There's a lot of stuff there I forgot about.
Yes. That is my point. I'm so glad you said that. That is my point. Yes. We've had some very bad things happen to us, but we've also been that person as well.
Right,
I really believe that forgiveness becomes easier when we realize that. When we realize that we're just as jacked up as somebody else
thank
is.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful, and I will see you tomorrow on the call.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Any more questions, comments, or concerns before we end on tonight, ladies?
Angel?
Angel?
Yes. I heard two voices.
This is Michelle calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi. I have two questions, but kind of the same question. Number one, how did you know you had really forgiven your mother-in-law? And then also, how did you know that you had succeeded in forgiving yourself for what you had done to your husband?
Okay. The piece about forgiving his mother, that I knew that I had forgiven her was because she had moved on. And I had to keep thinking, like, Angel, you can't keep holding on to this anger, because I'm thinking me being angry at her is hurting her. I don't know if anybody's ever heard Joyce Meyer talking about forgiveness is holding unforgiveness in your heart is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. That's exactly how I felt. Like, I felt that as long as I'm mad at her and angry at her, she's going to feel this. She's going to be pissed. And we just kept hearing that she was at this family function and she was doing this. And I'm like, I just had to move on. And then we saw her at a family function. I saw her and kept it moving and realized that it's done. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. To answer your second question, many of you guys know, because I talk about him all the time, my pastor is Pastor Jamal Bryant. And Pastor Bryant, now obviously I give all the credit to God working through him. But I like to say, no, I'm not going to say but, I like to say that being under Pastor Jamal's teaching, he gave me permission to be a little bit cocky and a little bit confident. Oh, hello?
Hello.
Oh, no. I hear music. Are you guys still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. I heard music. I thought the call was closing. Can you guys press *6 if you are if you feel like you're going to be in a noisy space? Okay. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So how I knew that I forgave myself was because, like I said, being under Pastor Jamal and his teaching and just realizing that I could not keep beating myself up over what I had done when every single day I was still waking up. That's why I'm very big on saying, if you woke up this morning, that is a clear indication that God is not through with you. You got some more stuff to do. He still loves you. He still has a purpose for you. There's still work for you to do. I just started to realize, like, every single day when I woke up, like, man, this guy was angry at me, or if he was done, like, I probably still wouldn't be here. So that was how I got over it myself. I had to realize, like, yes, that I did it. Nothing I can do about it now. I'm still here. I can't sit in a corner and just bite my nails for the rest of my life. I got to get up and do something. So I started getting a little cocky with my faith. And every time it would rise up in me, I'm like, yep, so what? I did it. Yep, I did it. That was me. I did it. And eventually it just went away. You got to get really, really cocky with who you used to be so you can combat that thing, because it will keep showing up. But you got to get just as cocky with it as it is being cocky with you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, ladies. Your homework assignment for tonight is simply to answer the two questions that are in your journal, and that is it. I love each and every one of you. Thank you, ladies, for showing up. And I will see you, ladies, the same time, same place, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night, everyone.
For more information about Angel Richardson and her life-changing products, visit Angel online at www.angelrichardson.com. or call 1-866-920-7020.